Swami Prabhupada. First canto, chapter 2, text number 34. Thus the Lord of the universes maintains all planets inhabited by demigods, men, and lower animals. Assuming the role of incarnations, he performs pastimes to reclaim those in the mode of pure goodness. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. There are innumerable material universes, and in each and every universe there are innumerable planets inhabited by different grades of living entities in different modes of nature. Lord Vishnu incarnates himself in each and every one of them, in each and every type of living society. He manifests his transcendental pastimes amongst them just to create the desire to go back to Godhead. The Lord does not change his original transcendental position, but he appears to be differently manifested according to the particular time, circumstance, and society. Sometimes he incarnates himself or empowers a suitable living being to act for him. But in either case, the purpose is the same. The Lord wants the suffering living entity to go back home, back to Godhead. The happiness which the living beings are hankering for is not to be found in any corner of the innumerable universes and material planets. The eternal happiness which the living entity wants is obtainable in the kingdom of God, but the forgetful living beings under the influence of the material modes have no information of the kingdom of God. The Lord, therefore, comes to propagate the message of the kingdom of God, either personally as an incarnation or through his bona fide representative as the good son of God. Such incarnations or sons of God are not making propaganda for going back to Godhead. Only within human society, the work is going on in all types of societies, amongst demigods and those other than human beings. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purport of the first canto, second chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam entitled Divinity and Divine Service.
Существует бесконечное множество материальных вселенных, и в каждой из них есть бесчисленные планеты, населенные живыми существами, которые принадлежат разным категориям и находятся под влиянием различных мультирон. Господь Вишна воплощается на каждой планете из 10 видов живых существ. Он являет свои трансцендентные игры только для того, чтобы возбудить живых существа в желании вернуться к Богу. Изначально трансцендентное положение Господа не изменяется, но его проявление, соответствующее определенному времени, обстоятельствам и возникающие в том или ином обществе, кажутся различными. Иногда он исходит сам, а иногда уполномочивает подходящее живое существо действовать для него. Однако все в общих случаях одна. Господь желает, чтобы страдающие живые существа вернулись домой, обратно к Богу. Счастье, которого как ждут живые существа, не найти ни в одном уголке всесильных вселенных материальных планет и материальных планет. Вечное счастье, к которому стремится живое существо, достижимо в царстве Бога, но, находясь в влиянии материальных бунт, живущие живые существа не ведают об этом царстве. Поэтому Господь приходит, чтобы распространять знание Царства Бога, либо сам, в форме воплощения, либо через своего истинного представителя, достойного Сына Бога. Призывая живые существа вернуться к Богу, эти воплощения и сыновья Бога проповедуют не только среди людей, но и в обществах других животных и живых существ, в том числе и среди полубогов и других личных отведей.
Okay, Om Gana Timirandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshura Militanyena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam yena bhutale, Swayam Rupa Kadamayam, Dadati Swapadantikam, Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sajajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savarutam Parijana Sahita Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanditam Shri. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Paschacha Desatarine Vanchakalpa Truvyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnave Bhyo Namaha Mukam karoti vachalam pangam langayate garim Tat kripa tamaham vande Shri Gurun dinatarane Okay, so this is the last verse of the chapter. And it's an important chapter, Divinity and Divine Service. You're going to just translate it silent, so I don't have to stop. Okay. But it says that Krishna incarnates in all different, you know, he's trying to help everybody. So, of course, he's the lion incarnation, the fish, the tortoise. So that's one way we can understand. And he helps to liberate those living entities also. But it says he performs pastimes. So like when Krishna was deciding to appear, of course he's already scheduled, but he would reveal his, in Vrindavan, these things which people had not seen and most people didn't know about. He would reveal these sublime pastimes of the Goloka in order to attract people to want to go there. So hopefully when we read and hear more about these things and we want to go there, just like people read about Israel, for instance. They have in the tour shops, you know, they have books for every country. If you go to a airline office or, you know, a travel agent, and then you can look through and say, oh, I want to go there because they have the best restaurants, or they have the biggest mountain, or they have the most prostitutes, something that people want to go there. So when we read about Vrindavan and we read about Krishna's personal beauty and then all the wonderful devotees and the atmosphere and the love, and if someone is in mode of goodness, if they're fortunate, they'll become attracted, they want to go there. Or we read about Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. So he's revealed, it's actually the same, Navadvip and Vrindavan, the same devotees even were there, but it looks different. But we get attracted to that also, and then by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, we can actually do the same thing. Not so many devotees can live in the beautiful forest and take care of cows and play in the caves of Govardhan and waterfalls and all these things. But we can get out and sing and dance and do what Lord Chaitanya and his associates did. And we can have the same effect of where we got purified just like Jagai and Madai, and we're not on their level though. I was just listening, and of course, they were most degraded. They said they were cow killers, they were murderers, they killed brahmanas. They weren't just ordinary drunkards. or meat eaters. They were really bad. Somehow or other they could avoid the police. It says they always, they were ordered to appear in court, but they never did. And somehow they had some kind of power. But after they changed, by the mercy of Lord Nityananda, then they offered some, first it was Madhai, and he told Lord Chaitanya, you should, what about me? Because Lord Chaitanya gave all blessings to Jagai, because Jagai had protected Nityananda from the second time for Madhai wanted to attack him again, and he stopped him. He said he protected Lord Nityananda, so he gets all the mercy, but you can't get it. And Madhai was saying, well, why are you saved in the previous incarnations? People are shooting you with arrows and throwing brahmastras, and you liberated them, why not me? And then when they offered prayers after they, had become completely changed, they were talking about all the previous, they knew. They were talking about all the previous incarnations and how they appeared and did this and did that in great detail. So they were not ordinary, living entities, but somehow they'd been completely covered over for past times. So there's so many planets, there's so many universes. We're in one little universe, which I don't know what they say now. I saw one so-called science magazine, and they said one thing we know for sure about the universe is that 90% of it, we don't know anything about it. So therefore, we're the authorities, because we can tell you that. And then this famous, the, supposed to be the topmost genius, Hawking, and he's the one that said there's black holes. And it's a big, big thing. Now he says there's no black holes. That's his latest. That's his latest thing. So, but still, you're supposed to accept their authority, even though they change drastically. But the Bhagavatam gives us the real story, and of course, it can't describe every planet. But there's life on every planet, and there's just like on this planet, there's so many different types of bodies. Some can live in the water. Some can live outside of the water. Some can fly. The humans are, they're crazy. So like when a human sees a bird flying, he thinks, oh, I want to fly. So then either he'll make an airplane, with great effort, or he'll become a bird in his next life, or a mosquito, or you don't know what. Like if you just say, I want to fly, and you die, and you had this intense desire to fly, there's a lot of different bodies that maybe you wouldn't want. So you say, okay, here's your body of a mosquito. But no, I don't want, I wanted to be an eagle. No, but this is what, you can fly. So, desires are crazy. When a dog sees a bird flying, he doesn't think, I want to fly. He's not envious. He's not like thinking I want it. He's happy to be whatever he is. The humans need to come to that to be satisfied. That's what Krishna says, labdho santushta. That a devotee, a yogi, should be satisfied with whatever he has, whatever comes automatically. That's for material. Should be satisfied, with this body, not thinking I want this one or satisfied with whatever, because we get our karma, and it's even for devotees that's hard to understand sometimes. We're getting old, and many are worried who's going to take care of me. But we see somebody takes care of everybody. But we need to have somebody was saying, they say, well, what's the use of preaching so much? Because we make new people, but we don't take care of the old ones. But you need young ones to take care of the old ones. Right? Like Japan now. There's other countries, but Japan is the most. They have a big problem with the aging society because they made all this policy to have very few children. And then they have enough technology, people living longer. So they have so many old people, and they don't have any young people. The old people can't, even they have money. Some of them have a lot of money, but they can't take care of themselves. They need young people to take care of them. Either, you know, family, and for love, they need family. You know, for happiness. Mm-hmm. Old people are not happy when they're just in a place full of old people. Mm-hmm. No matter how nice it is. Right? They won't be happy. They want young people around. That's why everybody loves a grandchild, you know. And in Japan, it's so bad that there's a company, actors, and old people would hire them to come and act like they're their family and have a party. Come and greet them and bring presents and say, oh, grandma and everybody. Yeah, I'm serious. Because nowadays, family, if everybody has only one or two children, you don't have cousins and uncles and aunts and all. You don't have anything. And even if you do, one lives in America, one lives in China, one lives in South America. So people are suffering. So in our society also, we need to create this family mood. But we need new people, but we need to train the new people so they have good consciousness. Not that they want to be taken care of, you know, on a welfare state. Everybody wants to take care of everybody else. So Krishna is trying. He's appearing in different incarnations. We know Krishna comes amongst the demigods. But these kind of things we see for sure. He comes to earth. He comes in different incarnations. He appears as king like Rama. Appears as a lion. Appears as his original form, Krishna. There's many Vishnu forms. In the heavenly planets, there's Vishnu. It's a little different Vishnu, but it's incarnations. And the great devotees come with him. And they take similar forms. The intimate devotees from Goloka, they also come. And they incarnate also. So they want to be with him. So he's showing us. So that we want to hear more and more about Vrindavan. And the way we really hear about it is, of course, from scripture, especially from... And the spiritual master reveals the holy Dham. Prabhupada, you know, gave us Vrindavan, otherwise... Few like Baby Shan Prabhu wandered into Vrindavan somehow or other, right? We have, there's many devotees that somehow were in India and they just happened to come to Vrindavan, you know. Others went all over India and never found devotees, came back and met devotees in Germany or England or something. I know many devotees that, like we have Radhana Swami's story, many devotees did the same thing from Europe. They traveled to India like the same, they have the same, they remember everything. But they didn't meet somehow, either they met devotees in India and joined right away, or they just came back and met devotees. But, I know when Madhaji Dina Sharanam, she said 2 years she was in India, she saw so many crazy religious, so-called religious, she practically gave up on that maybe there is no God even. And but then she went to the temple. At that time, the temple was one little place in the back warehouse or something. And she almost didn't go in, she said. And then she heard the lecture, and so they said, any questions? She said, what do I have to do to stay here? They said, well, we don't let any girls stay. And she said, well, it's too bad. I'm going to stay. So she stayed. She's the GBC now, but, you know, that's the way it was in the very early days. Mm-hmm. But somehow or other, you know, we heard something, you know. But now, by the mercy of Prabhupada, he gave us Srimad Bhagavatam, and he right away gave Krishna book, so we can hear about Krishna and all the wonderful pastimes and how beautiful, you know, Vrindavan is, so we can understand it. What it is, what is the real spirit. And then Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, we can actually join right in. We are continuing with, you know, worshiping Krishna, hearing about Krishna, chanting the holy name, dancing, taking prasadam, giving prasadam, worshiping the deity. That's what Lord Chaitanya did. That's what all the pastimes are. So we can carry on. And hopefully, you know, we don't have to take lower births, so Krishna has to incarnate in all these different species. Sometimes he empowers suitable living beings also to act on his behalf. But same way, we know, and Prabhupada mentions Jesus Christ, Muhammad even, Buddha is also an empowered incarnation. It's a living entity that gets empowered to act in the same way. Not fully like all of Krishna's pastimes, but have the same potency to make people take to believe and understand Krishna. Sons of God, so many acharyas have come, so many incarnations. We know, you know, there's a Das avatar, and then there's actually like 20. There's so many that are mentioned. Some come for a very short time. Nrisimhadeva just came and went, you know. Although he has his place. The swan incarnation just came, preached to the four Kumaras, and then left. And that's all. I never heard of anything else about that one. Maybe there's some place also. Hansa avatar. Because the four Kumaras had questions that Lord Brahma couldn't even answer. So he prayed, and then Krishna came as a swan and spoke. And, you know, very, very technical philosophy kind of things, but they, because they were like that. So we're very fortunate, that we have Prabhupada. Any acharya is also a Shaktivesha avatar, but there's certainly different levels of Shaktivesha avatars. But Krishna will use anybody that wants to represent Krishna, that tries to preach. Krishna will speak through them. That's what we pray. We're always trying to pray to connect so that Krishna can utilize us so that we can be useful in bringing people to take some interest in Krishna. So we see the power of just chanting in public. Devotees become very happy. Many people join in. Like just down the road from us, yesterday was a huge crowd. Much bigger than our crowd. So, in a circle. And it was some kind of, there was one African guy and some Israelis, and they're playing some African, and they were doing all kinds of acrobatic dancing, you know, like break dancing. But nobody was joining or dancing, nobody was singing along. Nobody. But you see, the Harinam, sometimes you don't get as big a crowd as the crazy things, but people join. People get some benefit. We saw that in Venice Boulevard, Venice Beach in America. That's like the most crazy place I've ever seen. You know, because it's a big tourist place, so many crazy people go there, and then they're able to get some donations. Yeah. So we're doing Harinam, and you know, a few people watch us. Of course, get some a lot of books. And then there's a group of guys that do acrobatic stuff. They get a huge crowd, and then they collect so much money. You know, help us to live, you know. They just, they're very good, but they just do like the circus. People like that. But when we first did Harinam in America, we got huge crowds. And then people know it's a religion, and then they don't, you don't get the same huge crowds. But that's another way that Krishna shows himself. He reveals this ecstasy. The spiritual world is, it says there's no walking, everyone only dancing, and there's no talking, only singing. Brahma Samhita says, so, you know, that's the spiritual world. Nobody's just walking around, going to work, you know, just talking about, you know, what's in the news today. Everybody's singing and dancing, and they're all singing and dancing the glories of Krishna. Even the trees can move around. But everybody is just thinking how to serve Krishna. So the more we can adjust our mind to think like that, Krishna takes care of devotees. So we have to, you know, even mundane governments take care of citizens. Right? So why not Krishna? You know, people like my sister, my father was injured in the war, and then when my sister went to university, the government helped her because her father had served the country, you know, so long before. So even a mundane government who is, you know, so many corruption and so many things, so what to speak of Krishna? He takes care of everybody. Hiranyakasipu told Prahlad, you know, by him being a devotee, something like 100 generations is liberated. Pass both ways. And he's the most great devotee, but for any devotee, people get liberated, people benefit. It might take time, like now, Brigadier is so happy, his brother has become a devotee.
Yeah.
And many people have that experience. The mother eventually, you know, is chanting or something because of the effect of being a devotee. And even if they don't become devotees, they get benefit. You know, Krishna helps them in the next life. Because they had, if you're a devotee, your parents had something to do with it. They raised you. So whatever they did to you had a lot to do with the fact that we've become devotees. So Krishna takes care of everyone. He's in the heart and he knows everything. Not like the atheists just make a joke. I heard one, some guy in the sky that keeps track of it. No, it's not like that. Krishna is the Supreme Lord. He just knows everything. People are so worried now that the government's watching and they know everything. And they don't know. They can know a lot, but Krishna knows everything. And that's what we should be worried about. Not worried about if we're a good people, the government can watch us all they want. It's not going to hurt anything, right? And if you're always talking about Krishna and they're watching you, good. But Krishna knows everything, and he's watching everything. So that's what devotees are worried. You know, we want to please Krishna. We want to act in a way that Krishna likes. And be utilized in Krishna's service. And he'll use anybody. He's very kind. Alright, so it says, he wants the suffering, and whatever he does, the purpose is he wants the suffering living entities to come back to Godhead. Everybody wants to be happy, but they're not going to find that happiness. Abrahma, Bhuvana, Loka, Punar, Vatina, from the highest planet to the lowest. There's always birth and death. There's always anxiety. The heavenly planets, you know, it's much, much nicer. But it says they get in it. Sometimes they can see the hellish planet sometimes. Then they get worried. Maybe I'll have to go there. So they have anxiety also sometimes. We get that sometimes. People can be on a nice holiday. They turn on the TV and see the news and they get an anxiety. Right? Yeah. You know, they're enjoying like anything and they turn on the news and saw that a plane crashed in their hometown and they wonder, was my brother on that? You know, and like now all these people, you know, that airplane's lost. And so there's, you know, 300 people on the plane and thousands of people wondering what happened to them. Their relatives. And what to speak, they got the whole world thinking about. But the souls, you know, we're all transmigrating. We're all coming and going all the time. So it says that these incarnations are not making propaganda only in human society. They're going on in all types of societies, even in demigods and not even human beings. Somehow or other, Krishna's, you know, helping everybody. Who knows how he's doing it? We don't get too many details. It says like that Varaha is the first hog and Sringa is the first lion or something, the first fish. Well, they must have some influence on all the other fish. That in the ocean, when the fish incarnation and the turtle incarnation, and you know, they do something to elevate everybody. So we want to just join in, you know, mainly Lord Chaitanya's leelas by just doing this Harinam Sankirtan, by finding ways and means to reach out, preach to everybody, give them more and more prasadam. It's very nice. And then that's Lord Chaitanya's leela. We're in it. And we just have to become purified to realize it. This Gornitai, that's Gornitai. Krishna and Balaram, Lakshman and Ram. Right. So. and people are coming again and again. All right, any question or comment? What?
How to increase the taste for the service.
The taste?
Yes.
Keep doing it. Yeah, it comes naturally if we keep doing it. Things that require taste. Like anything, you gradually get a taste. If we keep doing it. Something may not taste good at first, but as we get purified, it tastes better and better. That's the example that Rupa Goswami gives, that because of our disease condition, chanting doesn't always taste so great. But if we keep chanting, we get purified, then it's like eating bitter things. You can test, but if you eat a bitter things every day, after a while it tastes really good. At first you don't like it, right? I was traveling in Indonesia once, so there's a lot of neem trees there. So I was always taking the neem, and one boy with, I was telling him, take this neem every day. And he was like, ah, you know, God, it's horrible. And then after a few days, we were on the other side of the island, and he said, well, the neem here is different. This tastes good. It's the same, but you get a taste, you get purified. So sometimes, no matter how long we've been chanting, we just start to chant. You know, I got to do something else. You know, but if we keep chanting, it gets good again. And service also, especially our service activities sometimes seem like quite. Not like nectar, you know, like cleaning the kitchen or something, you know, something generally that's considered for a low-class job, you know, right? The homeless guys go in the back door of the restaurant and they pay them to clean the kitchen or something. But if we're chanting while we do it, then we get a taste for that, whatever activity it is. If we're always chanting, then we realize this is spiritual, because it's for Krishna. That's the difference. Remember, this is for Krishna. How to do that? Chant while you work, you know. Sing while you slave, you know. Or listen to kirtan at least, or listen to something. Then we sail right through any kind of work. Okay? Hare Krishna. Any other? Okay, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Harinam Sankirtan ki jai, Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bol.
Shri Rupa Vishnu.